Very good. Thank you for your good singing. And I think we're just going to leave that last song that I was planning to do now. I think we'll leave that till the end of the meeting. Maybe we'll have time, if the speaker isn't too long, maybe we'll have time to sing that last song I had picked out. So we may do some more singing, but I think it'd be good for me to get started on the message today. And now I'm going to ask for help. Oh, very good. I've got my helpers here today. I have notes for you to follow this morning. And the old-fashioned piece of paper way of doing it. And it might be an advantage, anybody who does like to write down with a pen or pencil, you might like to write a comment on those notes, something maybe that you enjoy. And so having paper is a good thing in that way. You could maybe make down a note. And not only that, on the second side, don't look at the second side where it says summary. That's a way to get everybody to look at the second side, right? But you don't need to read that now. But it's just in case, that's a summary on the message today about the man Philemon and Onesimus. That's the story, the word of God that we're going to teach. And that's a summary. So that if you are listening today and, oh, you go out the door, I don't know what that man was talking about. Well, then you can read the summary. And that will tell you something of the story of Philemon. But don't read that now. Let's just think about the other side and the notes on that. The first page on the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. The best way to think about the book of Philemon is to read it. And that's what I'm going to do now. And we trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts. We read the story of Philemon. Hebrews comes just after Philemon. And Titus is the book before Philemon. So it's not too hard to find if you know where Hebrews is. And we're just going to read, I'm just going to read through the whole of the book of Philemon. And then we'll refer to the notes on your paper to go through it in special verses to be highlighted. The book of Philemon, beginning at verse 1. And I have to remember to turn this on. There, I think. The light didn't go on. Oh, it's on. Yeah, okay, good. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sakes I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. That thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thine obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And the Lord, we pray, will add the blessing to the reading of his own precious word. You might like to use your note paper there on the first page on the book of Philemon. Note again verse 4 and those words, I thank my God. Did you see that? Verse 4. Paul could say, I thank my God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And God has a master plan. Look how perfect God's timing was, just in this story of Philemon alone. Philemon and Onesimus and Paul, and Philemon being a Christian and having a slave like Onesimus, and Paul in prison, and Onesimus fleeing away. And in the prison is where Onesimus met him and heard the gospel and was converted and changed into a different purpose and a different man altogether. God has perfect timing. There is not a circumstance in the life of a believer that God doesn't have a master plan for. In Psalm 145 and verse 3, we read, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. In Psalm 147 and verse 5, we read, Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. God has a master plan for his people. And his master plan is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding. And this book shows that. In Job chapter 7 and verse 6, Job said, My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. God was the master weaver in Job's life. But also, Job in his life could not see the beautiful tapestry that God was weaving. At times, Job wished he wasn't even born. But God had a master plan. All the sorrows and difficulties, all the dark threads woven into that tapestry were part of God's master plan. And God blessed the latter end of Job beyond his wildest dreams. Naomi also grieved. She complained and said, The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. But actually, it was just the master weaver stitching into her life the dark threads of heartbreak to make the most wonderful, amazing picture, portraying Christ as a kinsman redeemer and as a loving bridegroom. How wonderful. Jacob also despaired in his life, saying, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and will you take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. Not really, Jacob. Actually, all things work together for good to them that love God. And so today, God's people need to accept by faith situations and circumstances that appear to be negatives, but let's believe that God will take even our sorrows and turn them into triumphs for the glory of his own name. One sad day, Philemon and his wife sat down to coffee. Well, I don't know that for sure, but they sat down anyway together to talk. And Philemon's wife said, oh, I knew it. I just knew. I had a feeling that I couldn't trust Onesimus. Because he ran away from them, you see. And he took my best golden necklace, too. Why was I so foolish to leave that necklace laying around? How could God allow this to happen to us? Do you think she thought like that? Do you think she said that? Maybe it was something of Philemon's that got stolen. And maybe Philemon's wife was the comforting one. But in any case, their faith in God may have faltered when Onesimus took off like that. And then, I'm sure Philemon or his wife said, dear, let's get down on our knees and pray about this. Let's pray for Onesimus. Do you think they did that? Lord, they said, help us to cast this care upon thee. But it really happened. It really happened to Philemon and his wife. This huge time of sorrow and confusion. Dear Christian, let's just keep trusting God. Let's trust him with all these difficult, confusing circumstances that come upon us in our lives. Psalm 18 and verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. Do you believe that? It's just that we can't see how these dark threads, we can't set them. But he's a master planner and has a perfect plan. And we can believe, as for God, his way is perfect. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, as you have been partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. And then, on another day, Onesimus came back. He came back. It's just thrilling to think. What do you think was going through Philemon's mind when Onesimus came back over the hill that day? What do you think he thought? He might have felt like saying a whole lot of negative comments when he first saw him. He might have just said nothing and took the letter out of Paul's hand. Or perhaps Philemon, like the prodigal son's father, Philemon might have smiled and embraced Onesimus and said, you know, I've been praying for you since the day you left here. What would my reaction be? What would your reaction be? What would it be like? Someone who wronged you like Onesimus did, and then comes back. I feel sure that Onesimus himself was very careful with that letter from Paul. He didn't lose that one. This was a letter of his pardon he was bringing to Philemon. Onesimus' life might very well have depended on that letter and getting it back to Philemon. Legally, Onesimus deserved to die. In that day, he was a runaway slave. What a hard thing it must have been for Onesimus to go back to Philemon and confess his sin. Paul would have really encouraged Philemon, I think, you know, and probably read the letter to Onesimus, just so Onesimus would know. I can imagine Paul saying to Onesimus, look, you're going to have to show Philemon that you have become a new man. You're going to have to show him that. You have to show Philemon that old things have passed away and all things have become new. But surely Paul would have said to Philemon, listen, Onesimus, don't worry. You're going to have this letter, and you know something else? I know Philemon. I really know him. I know he will receive you in my name. Philemon is a loving man, and he openly shows his love to all the believers. Didn't we read that? To all the saints he showed his love at Colossae. And I know he'll receive you in my name. So go. Here's the letter. What a challenge. What a challenge to my heart today. Am I like Philemon? Do I show love and mercy to those who have wronged me? Am I making forgiveness clear to those who've wronged against me? My willingness to receive them? Verse 5 speaks of Philemon's love to all saints, not just the nice ones or those who are of our own persuasion. Do you know, God's people are all part of a brotherhood. If we are in Christ, and so the way we show our brotherhood is by love unfeigned, a love that's genuine, a love that's forgiving, a love that really takes an interest in each other. Now, looking back on your notes there, it should say verse 9 and verse 10, in the subject being intercession. For love's sake, it says. For love's sake. Paul is interceding for Onesimus to Philemon for love's sake. Intercession and forgiveness to those who've wronged us has to be for love's sake. That's got to be the motivator. The love's sake, which is really a saying the same as for the Lord's sake. If I am truly thankful for God's love and mercy toward me, shouldn't that translate in showing love and mercy toward all of the Lord's people? It should. It should. If you go over for a minute in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, if you might like to check out 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, I'll quote it to you, but just so you know where it's found, 1 Peter 4, 8 says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I don't think that as soon as Onesimus came into Philemon's presence, he said, okay, I want to know where you took my bracelet or whatever. But for Paul's sake, which is the same as us thinking for Jesus' sake, we forgive. Christian here today, do you know anyone who really, out of love for the Lord Jesus, do you know anyone or someone that you could call and say, hey, we need to get together and be forgiving. Although, we must remember that Onesimus really was saved, and he really became a totally changed man. Verse 14, courtesy, courtesy. This letter is about clearing up problems from the past, all right, but the appropriate way to do it with love, using courtesy, courtesy. Paul could have said to Onesimus, just stay here, forget about your past, just stay with me here, make a new start. We're just going to sweep it all under the carpet. But Paul knew that the pain of confession of sins and the purging of the reconciling process, that really was the only way Onesimus would really have a conscience void of offense. And that Philemon, if he heard that Onesimus was saved and a changed man, they needed to get together so Philemon would know about a conscience void of offense in Onesimus. All the past was cleared up. But courtesy, courtesy. Without thy mind, I would do nothing. What a statement. Philemon, and now I'm going to give you my own translation of verse 13. Philemon, I could really use Onesimus's help here in the prison with me. Not only his testimony of salvation in gospel ministry, but he would be of practical help to me in a way that you, Philemon, can't possibly be a practical help to me. Onesimus is like a son to me. But even though I would like to have Onesimus with me, it's more important that first of all, he makes things right with you, Philemon. Verse 14, without thy mind, I would do nothing. It's also an excellent verse as a guiding principle for marriage, too. Without thy mind, I would do nothing. We got to work on this together, dear. Communication, appreciation of each other, teamwork are important in maintaining a healthy marriage and a healthy church fellowship. Without thy mind, I would do nothing. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we read, by love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. Our policy for unity in our assembly should be, without thy mind, I would do nothing. We got to work together on this, right? In verse 18, we see advocacy being demonstrated. Paul uses the words, on my account, did you notice? Paul, then, is being an advocate on behalf of Onesimus in Paul's own name. If you love me, he says, figuratively, I am pleading for you to love him and forgive him and to accept him, not just as your servant, but now as a brother in the Lord. The proper attitude among Christians is we're all just brothers in Christ. No one is above another. Evidently, from verse 19 of our chapter, those words that Paul said to Philemon there, thou owest me even thine own self. Evidently, Philemon himself was indebted to Paul in some way. And so, all of this narrative presents a beautiful picture of righteousness being imputed to a sinner because of the previous work of another on the sinner's behalf. We have to get that picture. Could we all just turn to Romans chapter 4 and verses 5 to 8? Romans 4 and 5 to 8. The gospel that we preach in this assembly is that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ died for us. The word that we were thinking of in verse 18 that Philemon used on my account is the very same word in Romans 4. It's used, it's the same word, it's translated imputation. Romans 4, verse 5, and verse 6, and verse 8, and it's also used at the end of the chapter, imputation, impute, put to the account of. I'm going to just read this. I like, in this case especially, I do like the International Version, the New International Version for this passage, because of the use of the word credited, because I think that helps us understand better than imputation. And I'm going to read it. You can follow along in the King James there or whatever you're using, Romans 4, 5 to 8, but I'm going to read, this is from the NIV. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift. If you're working for it, it's not a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And verse 6, David said the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom Christ credits righteousness apart from works. And verse 7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are coveted. And verse 8, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Our sins are not counted against us. We're not indebted to God for our sin because the Lord Jesus paid our sin debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And the Lord Jesus paid my sin debt. So now my account is clean. You see how this fits with Philemon here? Put it to my account, Paul says. He's an advocate on behalf of a sinner, speaking to get back with the one who he owes his all to, Philemon. And so we have salvation and the imputation of righteousness through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus lived that sinless, perfect, holy life that neither you nor me could live. Our terrible, guilty transgressions were laid upon him. He paid that debt for me. I'm going to let you turn over the page of your outline for a minute on the summary part. And just look at the underlined part that we have there. You see the underlined portion on the summary page? The Lord Jesus took all our wrong and our sin debt was put to his account. He took our place in death, but gives us his place in life. He took our hell, and he gives us his heaven. I need to hear someone say hallelujah or something. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He has given us his place by taking our guilty debt. What a savior that he did it all for us. That is imputed righteousness. That's what it means, imputed to his account. Verse 22 in our outline is headed with a title there I like. Accountability comes out, I think, in that verse. Accountability. Where Paul says, by the way, Philemon, can you get the bedroom ready for me? Because I'm going to be coming to your place. Prepare me a lodging, he says. He says, Philemon, any thoughts you have about throwing my letter in the garbage, you better not, because I'm coming to your place. I'm going to be sure that you follow through with this attitude of forgiveness to Onesimus. I think we see accountability there. I think that that's true. And do you know something? We have an accountability factor as well. You and me have an accountability factor to God for the way we've carried out our forgiveness and love down here. We have an accountability factor that a judgment is coming. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 teaches that the elders must give an account to God regarding those who they are shepherding, and we can help them by following their guidance. But also, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 says, quote, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that everyone may receive the things done in his body. We have an accountability factor. And I need to take this moment and say, Lord, I'm going to be held accountable. Help me with that. If there's any attitude, if any change in my thinking and my life, now's the time to get it ready. The Lord might come today. We want to be ready. It's encouraging. If you were to go over, you don't need to turn to it, but if you'd like to, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9 mentions Onesimus also. Sometimes you want to find out, well, whatever happened there? You know, we get this part of the story in Philemon. Well, I wonder how it all worked out. You know, is there an epilogue here? But I think we kind of get a little epilogue. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9 about Onesimus. Colossians 4 and 9 says, and I quote, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Isn't that great? A faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. What a wonderful commendation for Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. You know that his name meant profitable. Somehow, when he was born, his mother gave him, or his father gave him, the name Profitable. Isn't that something? But in his life experience, he found, I'm unprofitable. Unprofitable. But then he became a new creature. And what a commendation. A faithful brother. God made him profitable again. God has a master plan. That's why we never give up in our prayers. That's why we just keep on believing. God has a master plan. Just think about what the power of the gospel could do for that poor runaway slave. Imagine. Oh, your name is Paul? You know Philemon? Imagine God working. We just have to believe it. He has this plan. The dark threads are part of it. We just keep trusting him, right? Onesimus, a faithful brother who is one of you. So in closing, may God help us all to remember God has a master plan. He can turn the most upsetting events into blessings through his love and understanding that's beyond ours and his mighty power. God, help us to be the intercessors for others that we need to be. The Lord Jesus interceded for us for love's sake. God, help us to consider each other and be courteous to each other. Without thy mind, I would do nothing. Well, I better check and be sure brother so-and-so knows about this. Let's work together on this one. I don't want to be independent in my thinking here. That makes for unity, right? And fellowship, right? And to remember the debt payment that our Lord Jesus paid. What a debt. He deserves our all, right? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And he's worthy of all my energy and love and effort. But lastly, remember, we're going to be answerable. Accountability. And that day could be very soon. And the Lord will come quickly, which means there's not going to be any opportunity for reassessment on the day that he comes. We've got to be sure we're keeping close to him now, because we'll be accountable. I think we better not, my voice is going anyway, but we better not have a song in the end, but only trust him, right? Only trust him. Let's just pray. Father, we do thank thee for this tremendous little letter that Onesimus really did take one day to his former slave owner, Philemon. What a thing. Oh, how thankful we are, Lord. We were all Onesimus. We were all the runaway. The ones who maybe said we were profitable, but by experience, we were sinners. And unprofitable. But oh, how we thank thee we can be new creatures in Christ. Help us to live like it. Help us among your own people to, without thy mind, do nothing. To really be a fellowship, knit together in love, a fervent love, and forgiving and caring. Thank you again now, Lord, for this passage. We pray that it will stay with us and your Spirit will speak to us much, that we might be careful to give thee the glory in a coming day. We thank thee now for your word and ask you to part us with thy blessing and take us to our home safely. We ask in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening.